But God has commanded you. Now when he says, all that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you now. He's telling you what should be taught in the church.
Is it what I'm going to say in this series? So I will do a summary of what I've done in the volume 1 of series 2. What is the last 4 sections? I'll do a summary of it in this section.
Hallelujah.
So the school of the Spirit, Matthew 28, on verses 18. Matthew 28 on verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go therefore, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So, if you are in CRC, I'm making an assumption that everybody here is in CRC. Right? So there are some things I said in CRC that I'm going to come and put some blocks into it. Hallelujah. And I did that on purpose because of this. Hallelujah. I need to do it on time. Now, he said, Jesus is God. Did you remember that? Remember I said Jesus is God. He's not a lookalike God. He's not a man that will confront God on. Jesus is God who became a man. I like your haircut. Keep doing it. Wow. Lovely haircut. Amen. Amen. It just makes you look different. Amen. So, now Jesus is God. Now when he says, no, he said, teaching them. Now hear what he says. Now, I thought when he says, make disciples, he's referring to the local church, right? And I said, teaching them to observe all what I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you. Now when he says, Jesus is with us, please, this is stressing my hand. This is what you're using to record. You're not using this to record now. This is going to make me tired out on time. So, which is Brock Kenneth Hagin. He says, when the things of the Spirit are not taught, they will be lost. Hallelujah. They'll be lost. Glory to God. Get eager for the things of the Spirit. Hope you're hearing me. And shun friends. Don't see. When I flow with the things of the Spirit, I don't care what anybody says. I'm God's prophet. Hope you're hearing me. Hope you're hearing me. God's prophet. Don't be shy. Why are you shy? When God has deposited something in you to say to someone and you don't say, that is a sin on his own. Hope you're hearing me. Amen. Glory to God. And goes to every other person. Now what should be taught is the Spirit. Now he says, if the things of the Spirit are not taught, they'll be lost. How? In this generation. So that means the things of the Spirit are things you should teach. Hallelujah. The things of the Spirit are things we should teach. The things of the Spirit. For example, some people don't know anything about the things of the Spirit. Some people, what they know about the things of the Spirit are evil spirits. I said that to us. But the things of the Spirit are our things. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 1, quickly, Genesis 1, from verses 1. Genesis 1, 1, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Pause. God created the heavens and the earth in the beginning. Now, I said something to us in series 2, volume 1. Now, I said something the last time. I said the Bible itself, we're going to see why I said this, as we proceed today. The Bible itself is a supernatural book, written in natural language. The Bible is a supernatural book. We're going to see why I said so, as we proceed. But I explained it in the series 2, volume 1. Now, it's a supernatural book written in human language. So that means what you have as the Bible is man using man's language to explain supernatural things heard and seen by God. Hope you're hearing me. Hallelujah. So when you read the Bible, and in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of the Spirit. Inspiration of God. Inspiration of God means there are supernatural things written in natural languages. I hope you're following me. Hallelujah. So you get to Genesis 1:1. When Moses says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Heavens and the earth. Now, something very vital, Genesis 1:1. Is that Moses brings in the word heaven and earth. Now before you think Moses was writing, what do we call it? Is it history now? right? Moses was writing the history of the world, heaven and earth. No, you'll be missing it. You'll be missing what Moses is saying. First of all, the Bible is a supernatural book. And what he's explaining is he's using natural things to explain the supernatural. So you have to, first of all, Bible was written 2,000 years ago. I said this to someone who was trying to argue some things with me about the Bible. I said, Bible was written more than 2,000 years ago. More than. Amen. For over 4 to 5,000 years ago. So the person was trying to argue with me. And I said, now, you cannot, if I give you Shakespeare, how many of you are literature students? Literature students? Do you easily understand Shakespeare? Do you know Shakespeare's book? Have you read Hamlet? No, Shakespeare didn't write Hamlet. But have you read the common one? Romeo and Juliet. You read Romeo and Juliet? Right? How many of you understand what Shakespeare was writing well? You don't understand. Even here, this is, he said, because now, we can look at like the banana tree. Yeah? You need to calm down again, right? To look at it again. Why? For you to understand Shakespeare, you have to sit in your seat. Until I watched that movie, Romeo and Juliet, I hated that book. Because there was nothing to understand. In fact, our literature teacher would tell us to go and stand in front of the class and read it. How can I read what I cannot pronounce? Glory to God. I was just reading without understanding nothing. Amen. But then I watched the movie and I said, oh, no wonder. Did you see? Glory to God. So for you to understand them, you have to sit in your seat. Amen. Moses didn't speak English. Moses didn't speak Yoruba. He didn't speak Igbo. Moses spoke Hebrew. So you have to understand what was Moses writing when he says heaven and earth. Moses wasn't writing creation of the world. But he was using a known history to explain the oracles of God. Amen. So that you don't end up arguing with scientists. So scientists say the world was formed. You end up arguing with scientists. But the Bible is not a book of science. Even though it includes the science of their day, but the science of that day was used to teach the oracles of God. That's what Moses is doing. Hope you can hear me. Hope you can hear me. Amen. Amen. It is the science of that day to teach the oracles of God. So it's a heaven and earth. The people in Moses' seat understood what heaven and earth is. You know, heaven and earth is a temple language. When Moses says heaven and earth is a temple language. So what is heaven? Heaven is from that Hebrew word Shamayim. Shamayim. Now heaven is used to explain the supernatural where God dwells. Heaven is used for the supernatural where God dwells. So when the Hebrew people sat down and Moses said, in the beginning God created the heavens and earth, they understood. Heaven and earth is temple. And the temple is where you go to see God and man together. Because in the temple, you have their idol worship and then you have people. So in Egypt, when the children of Israel were in Egypt, when they say, I'm going to the temple, you are going into union with deity. Hope you're following me. So when a man is in the temple, he's in union with deity. Hope you're following me. So Jesus is now saying God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. So the heavens is used for where God dwells. Where God dwells. Look at Genesis 15 verse 5. Genesis 15 verse 5. Are you there? It says, and he brought him forth abroad. And the Lord looked now. I mean, and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said to them, so shall thy seed be. Heaven, a place that is higher, a lofty place. Amen. Let's rush quickly to Deuteronomy 4:36. Deuteronomy 4 verse 36. Are you there? It says, out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he may instruct thee, and upon the earth that he show thee his great fire, and thou hearest his voice out of the midst of the fire. This was Moses explained to them what happened to them in Exodus chapter 19. Amen. Amen.
He said, out of heaven, he made it to hear his voice. Is it out of the skies or out of the supernatural? Everybody listen to me. Is it out of the skies or out of the supernatural? Supernatural. Amen. He said, you heard his voice in the midst of the fire. In the midst of the fire. So that means they heard the voice. Hallelujah. They heard his voice, but it's called out of heaven. Supernatural. Hallelujah. From the supernatural. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So heaven is not a distance away. Heaven is not a distance away. We're going to see it next week. That heaven is not a distance away. Heaven is within the earth. It's the supernatural within the natural. How are you following me? Heaven is what? The supernatural within the natural. Moses heard the voice of, the child of Israel heard the voice of God in the natural, right? But it said it's out of heaven. Heaven is within the earth. You see shortly. Put your hands there. Go back again to Genesis 28. I'll show you something. Hallelujah. Genesis 28. Okay, that's it. Are you there? Hallelujah. Okay, this is the dream of Jacob. Hallelujah. Verse 12. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, an angel of God, the angels of God, ascended and descended upon it. And behold, the Lord stood above it. We'll get to this shortly. And said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac, the land whereunto thou liest, to thee I'll give it, unto thy seed. And thy seed shall be at the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, and to the north and to the south, and in thee shall all the sea, and in all thy seed, shall all the fathers of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee. I'll keep thee in the place where thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob woke up of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is no other but the house of God. Watch it. No other but the what? Is it that place where he stayed? Is it that place? He said, this is the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Hallelujah. So that means the gate of heaven, it means the doorway. So where is the doorway to heaven? Is it the earth? Is it the earth? So that means the supernatural and the natural. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, that's a fact. You say heaven is in the earth. What about hell? I'll teach you that in a few years to come. Let's understand heaven very well. Hallelujah. What is hell? What is there fire in hell? Calm down. Are you going there? So if you are not going there, so don't bother about it. I will teach you later. Amen. Let's talk about where we are in. Where are we? Where are we? Did you tell someone welcome to heaven? That is the answer. Uh-huh. So we are in heaven. Amen. Let's understand it very well. So heaven is the supernatural. Hallelujah. Hope you are seeing that. Deuteronomy 26. Let's get out of Deuteronomy 26. Follow me now. Deuteronomy 26. So we see that heaven is not a distance, it's within the earth. Deuteronomy 26. So heaven is not a distance away from there. Let me say the way I said it in our series 1, not volume 1, our series 1. I said heaven is not a distance away from the earth, but heaven is not a distance away, but a distinction. There's always a distinction. Amen. This is heaven. Amen. There's a distinction, but not a distance. Deuteronomy 26, are you there? Are you there? Look at verses 15. It says, look down from thy holy habitation from heaven and bless thy people, Israel, and the land which thou givest us, and send us to our fathers, the land of flowing milk and honey. Now I said, look down from heaven. Now remember, don't see how you see. I told us, a little lower than the angel, a little lower than angels is Jesus became a, and the natural body is inferior to the supernatural. Did I say that? So I told us that the supernatural is spiritually higher than the natural because of man's dust. Right? Do you remember that? So when it says look down from heaven, it shows you heaven is a lofty, is lofty. Yes, description is lofty, higher than the earth, but not out of the earth. You see that? So now he's saying that is where God dwells. Where is it? Supernatural world. Do you see that? Amen. I checked out something this morning. I saw that I was teaching us a similar teaching like this last year by this time. That is supernatural help. I taught it. This same period. This same week. Today. I was like, wow. This time last year, that's what I was teaching us. Supernatural help. Amen. Glory to God. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Amen. Amen. So you can also read that. I also explained it in supernatural help. Heaven is not a distance away. Glory to God. Heaven is not a distance away. Heaven is where God dwells. That is the supernatural. Glory to God. The supernatural. Where God dwells. Hallelujah. Look at verse 39. Sorry, 29, 39. Sorry, Genesis 20, Deuteronomy 26, are we there? Are you there? Okay, guys, permit me. Okay, let's go ahead. Just allow that. So heaven is used for God's activities in the earth. Right? So when Moses says heaven and earth is used to teach the supernatural, heaven is used for the supernatural, earth is used for the natural activities of men, man. Right? When Moses says heaven and earth is used for what? The supernatural and the natural were in the same place. Yeah, in the same place. So I gave us the two layers of meaning on Genesis 1. I said that during our series 1 last year. I said to us that when Moses said heaven and earth, in the beginning God created the heavens and earth, he's talking about God's plan. God's plan to be with man. Amen. That's the indwelling. God's plan to be with man. And I said the second layer is Moses was writing for them to see the reality of their world. Are you sleeping? The reality of the world, which is heaven and which is the natural and the supernatural coexisting. The natural and the supernatural coexisting. Now, this is very vital. Because Moses had to teach the children of Israel. He had to teach them. Meaning if the things of the spirit are not taught, it will be lost. Like I say, a Christian will be fighting three. Oh, Holy Ghost, I kill them. Oh, number three. What do you know about supernatural things? Like if I carry my Bible and face it like this, fire will be coming out. You think your Bible is fireball? Hello. Amen. Some people think the power of God is in the Bible. No. The power of God is in God's word in your mouth. The power of God, I showed us, right? WCRC. The power of God is resident in the believer, not in the book. Not in the Bible that you are carrying. The Bible has been printed out. The wordings in the scriptures is inspired by God. But the printing is man-made. Amen. So don't expect fire to, don't expect fireball to be coming out from here. Ajinke, Odeshi. No! This is just a paper. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Someone's Bible fell down and they say, oh, blood of Jesus, I'm so sorry, Lord. Amen. It's just a paper. But we should treat it well. Hallelujah. We should do what? We should do what? Do you treat the Bible well? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, we began to ask a question. A major question in this teaching is, what is man? What is man? Who is man? Who is man? Some people don't know, have not answered that question. Who is man? Why did God create man? Who is man? Genesis 1:26. And this is God speaking. He said, and God said, let's make man in our image. Genesis 1:26. Then, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when he says, let's create man, let's make man. Now the Greek rendering of that word, which is the Septuagint. If you look at the Septuagint, that word, let's create man. We're not referring to one man. So let's create mankind. That's what it means. Let's create human race in our image. So it shows you the intention of God for man. Mankind. And I told you that word Adam. Adam is used for a person, Adam, and is used for humankind. Adam. Now let's make Adam, let's make mankind in our image, after our likeness. Hallelujah. So, one, that takes away that mankind is in God's image. God's plan is for man to function in his image. Hallelujah. To function in his image. Now, the word image there is the word teslem, or selem. T-S-E-L-E-M, selem. Selem is used for idols. That word selem is used for how you do an idol. Now, let's make man in our image. An idol is used to represent an unseen God. Amen. Idols. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Unseen God. So that word idol is used for a representation. Glory to God. So God created man to represent him in the earth. So why did God create mankind? To be his representation in the earth. Why did God create mankind? Why did God create mankind? In the end. Hallelujah. Is it the, now to ask a question, is it the believer or mankind? The believer or mankind? No, mankind. God created mankind to be his image. To be his representation in the earth. That's why God created man. It was because, now the people that said, believer, is because you've not been attending the series. It was mankind. Every man was created to represent, to be God's representative in the earth. Hallelujah. Human race. Not just Christians. Hallelujah. Now we're going to get to some details by next 2 weeks. Some very vital details on this teaching. Amen. Then I will cut it short there. I will continue next year. Amen. Very vital details. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Mankind. That means, I told us that it therefore means that, okay, God created man to be in his image, to represent him in the earth. In the earth. And I said, that is the reason for what? Well, let me see who has been in the meeting. That's the reason why people get into drugs. Because man deviated. Amen. How are you following me? We're going to get into those details. And that is the reason why you see people get into drugs. Why people serve idol worship? Because there's that craving in man. There's that hunger in man for God. Hallelujah. So I say, why people do idol worship is a perverted hunger. That hunger has been perverted. But in every man lies that craving for God. In every man. So because of that void, but put it there, that void in man, that void, every man craves for God. You know, I told someone one time, I said, why did God put the flaming sword in the Garden of Eden? Someone says, now man will not go come in there again. That's not true. The flaming sword there is to show man the direction to life. And we're going to get into that in this teaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God created man to function in his image. But when that is perverted, right? When that is perverted, man will go into idol worship. When that is perverted, man will go into drugs. When that is perverted, man will go into all sorts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So how has God fulfilled this? By his spirit in us. So that means I told us that the Holy Ghost in a believer, the Spirit of God in a believer is God equipping us to function effectively as His image in the earth. Hallelujah. Are you following me? The Holy Spirit in the believer is God equipping us, who has equipped us to function effectively as His image in the earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why was man created? To be God's image. Look at verse 26 there. It said, let him have dominion. So man was created to have dominion. That was dominion, where the word authority. Created to have authority. Over the fish of the sea, we are coming there. What is the fish of the sea? The bird of the air. And over every cattle, creeping to that creeping upon the surface of the earth. We're getting there. Hallelujah. Some people think, oh, when God said this, it means man should be killing fish. Who told you that? So your dominion is to be killing fish. No! No! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! In Genesis 2, verse 15, let's say this. Genesis 2:15. Follow me, oh! Genesis 2:15. What I'm doing critically in this series, like I said, and this is like I said, how are you coming here? Is to put some foundations to some things that have told us for what I will say from next week. Hope you're following me. Amen. Genesis 2:15. Let's read together. One, two, go. Took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So, man was meant to be God's image, right? He now took man and put man where? In his garden. To do what? To dress and to keep it. What is the garden of God? So the garden of God is where God is planting tomatoes. Come, let me knock your head. How do you say that? What is the garden of God? Who is in the garden? A little fine girl. Can I come and see her? No. I beg my mommy follow me. See ya. Is that what is in the garden of God? God, you think God used to plant sugar cane in garden? What does God mean a garden? I told you, Moses is writing supernatural things. He's writing about the supernatural, but he's going to use what? Natural things to explain supernatural. So Moses will not use the word garden. But if you have a garden of tomatoes in your head, you have missed God. Amen. Because he's not writing about garden of tomatoes, garden of sugar cane, not writing about trees. He's talking about something that is very vital. Hope you're following me. Let's look at, what is God's garden? What is God's garden? Glory to God. Hallelujah. What is God's garden? Okay. What is the garden of Eden? Sorry. What is the garden of Eden? Open the Bible to Ezekiel quickly. I will show you two of it. What is God's garden? Ezekiel 28, verse 13. Just two places I want to show us. Ezekiel 28, are you there? Before I get to Ezekiel 28, let's quickly open to Isaiah. Isaiah 51, verse 3. Then Ezekiel 28. Isaiah 51, verse 3. Are you there? It says, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort our waste places. And he will make our wilderness like Eden. And our desert like the garden of the Lord. So, garden of Eden is actually the word garden of the Lord. Can you see it? Can you see it? Ezekiel 28. Follow me now. Verse 13. It says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone is thy covering. He says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. So, garden of Eden is actually the garden of God. Hope you can see it. It's God's garden. So how is it then explained? Now, get back to Genesis 4. Let's see how the Garden of Eden was explained. Now, look at me. Look up now. When Adam and Eve sinned, what happened to Adam and Eve? They were sent out of God's garden. Right? Right? Is that it? Now, the same thing that played out to Adam and Eve now played out to Cain and Abel. So that means, when Adam and Eve sinned, and some people think, some people, is illiteracy, not knowing the Bible. Some people think the reason why that they are seen as in quote because of Adam and Eve. How many of you still believe that? Like because of Adam and Eve's sin, that is why all men are sinners. Someone even said, if Adam did not, Adam did not eat apple. Who told you Adam ate anything like apple? We just saw that the garden, you don't teach children rubbish. Oh, you hearing me? Let me say it to these young ones. Adam and Eve did not eat apple. Can you hear me? Because I grew up thinking they ate apple. Guava. I didn't like guava growing up because I thought Adam ate guava. All right, they became sinners. Adam and Eve did not eat anything. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? They did not eat apple, no. Let me say to the younger ones. And let me say to the teenagers. Can you hear me, teenagers? Adam and Eve did not eat apple. Even if in your CRK textbook, you saw that was a big scam. You know, Satan has scammed people. Amen. Adam and Eve didn't eat apple. And I show someone one time, I say, show me where there's apple that Adam and Eve ate. How did you get to apple? The man said, it was because what Adam and Eve ate, they now caused Adam to now have, they now call it Adam's. No, this thing here, he said, that is Adam's apple. That the apple now hangs here. How? No, tell me how. Oh, you are thinking it now. You never thought of it. Don't be scammed. Say, I refuse to be scammed. Amen. That's a lie. In fact, I told someone that Adam and Eve didn't eat anything. So what did Satan and Eve do? I said, go and listen to our series. Amen. He didn't eat anything. To eat means to believe. So that means when God said you should not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he's telling them to believe in redemption. Right? Believe in life. And Moses will now explain it as two trees. Right? I said before the good and evil. Right? Right? That is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So be calming down before you rush. That is a tree. Have you ever heard of any tree that they write life? Tree of life. There's nothing like that. Hope you're following me. Amen. Tree of life is actually to believe in eternal life. God's plan of eternal life. Hallelujah. And not to believe in it is called the tree of knowledge and good of good and evil. So there was nothing like, or nothing like what? Apple. At all. Glory to God. Amen. A lot of people still have that thinking. Our snake just came down from one tree. Especially this, how many of you know this, I don't even know the name. We call the name of that fruit. The only name that they, only fruit they call, come on, thank you. It's the only fruit that they call fruit. So it just came up on the tree. How are you? Are you still God? Somebody that don't chop any tree for this garden? Yes, he said it to me, it's a very bad. He said, God knows it's the heat of it, your eyes will open. Like the serpent was Calabar Man. The eyes will open. What do you mean, my God? That's just costly. Amen. Moses was using all those things to explain the supernatural. Even the serpent itself was a supernatural being. We're going to get there. Hope you're following me. Hope you're with me. Serpent is a supernatural being, not literal. It was not a snake. There was no snake in the garden. But we'll explore it little by little. So be calming down. Don't be in a rush. I always tell you guys, don't be in a rush. We will learn it. We'll know Bible together. Amen. But to tell you Adam and Eve ate apple is a lie. It's a lie. But don't be like me in school. One time like that, my teacher drew something on the board. I said, Ma, They are drawing tube of yam. Don't do it, they'll flog you. Amen. But just know that it's not true. Hallelujah. Amen. I argued with my CRK teacher some of this truth. And the CRK teacher told me, you know what? What you are saying is correct. He said, what you are saying is correct. I cannot fault you. But if you write this thing in WAEC, you will fail. So please. Did you see that? That word serve is what the same word abad, a priestly ministry. Chapter 4, verse 23. Exodus 4, verse 23. It says, and I say unto thee, let my soul go, that he may serve. And if I refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. This is Israel. He said, let my son go. Amen. That he may do what? Serve me. Wait, then go down to Egypt and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. It was God who told Moses. It was God who told Pharaoh to let my people go. It was God who told Pharaoh to let my people go. Oh, go down to Egypt and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Let your people go to where? Why did God rescue the children of Israel from Egypt? To serve. Why did God rescue the children of Israel from Egypt? To serve. God mentioned it more than 5 times in the book of Exodus. Go and tell me that they may serve me. Exodus 7 verse 19. Again he says it there. Hallelujah. Tell them. Exodus 7 verse 16. Exodus 7 16. He says it again. He said, and thou shalt say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrew has sent me unto thee. Say, let my people go that they may serve me in the wilderness. So why did the children of Israel let them go? Or why did God rescue them from Egypt? To serve. To do what? To do what? To serve as what? To serve as priests. Now it will not be lost on you. There is language to Exodus 19:6. Quickly. When now they are out of Egypt. Now look at what God now says to Moses. They are out of Egypt. God now said this to Moses. 19 verse 6. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of? A kingdom of? Why? That was why they came out. They came out so that they would serve him as priest. So what was supposed to be Adam's role in the garden? What was supposed to be Adam's role? To serve God as a? Thank you. Amen. So now, remember Genesis 2? God took the man he formed and put him in the garden to dress and to keep. So Adam's role was to be God's priest. Hope you're following me. Amen. So Adam was not supposed to go to the garden and be playing ball and watching man you. No. Or watch Afna. May Afna never happen to you. I know I was going to get. Who said amen? Who said amen? God bless you. You know right now, mind you are the most happiest club. They have nothing, but they are better than Arsenal. Imagine a former laughing a falling man. Hey, man. But they are, that's just it. What are you doing in the garden of God? I am just enjoying myself. No. Man was put in God's garden to dress up. Not to watch Telemundo or wrestling or Arsenal Mine or okay Liverpool. Liverpool. Neither Chelsea. Amen. Man was put in God's garden to dress and to do what? To dress and to keep it. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that's why we have the Spirit of God. So we can function effectively as priests. So Peter will now write and I'll say, you are a chosen generation. It was a royal priesthood. Why? Because the Spirit of God is now in me. I can function as who I am. Hallelujah. Hope you see that. So the Spirit of God is in us. So that we can function effectively as God's image. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, the man in God's image, what is he called? I want to answer 2 questions a bit today. Man in God's image, what is he called? We say he's called a priest, right? What is the man in God's image called? Priest. He's also called
a prophet. It's called a prophet. And that's why where I told us to function this morning, and I said to function as God's oracle. That's who you are. That's why he has given you his spirit. I can easily just flow and function as a priest. Hallelujah. Amen. I can talk by the Holy Ghost. How do you then know? How did I know that God wanted me to lay hands on the sick people there today? How do you think? Because I'm functioning as a priest. I'm functioning as God's prophet. Hallelujah. Say, I am functioning as God's priest. I'm functioning as God's prophet. Now, do you agree with me that Abel was in God's garden too? Do you agree with me? Abel and Cain were in God's garden too. Do you agree with me that? We said it just now, right? We said they were in God's garden. Do you agree? Okay. Now, if there is God's garden, look at Luke 11 verse 50. Luke 11:50 to 51. So, Abel was in God's garden. Abel offered Abel functioned as God's priest. That was why he offered what he did, right? As God's priest, right? Do you understand? Okay, Luke 11. Are you there? Verse 50. It says, this Jesus, he said, by the blood of all the prophets. Was it? The blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple, where I say to you, that required of this generation. So what did he call Abel? Prophet. Abel is called a? Abel is called a? Abel is called a? I also showed you who again is called a prophet. Abraham is called a prophet. Right? We saw all that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So who is the man in God's garden? Which is you and I? Who are we? We are what? You guys are saying it as though you don't believe it. You are God's what? Hallelujah. Look at chapter 13. Luke 13. It says, verse 28, it says, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, where you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. You yourself shall be thrust out. Did you see that? So what does it call Abraham, Isaac and Jacob? Prophets. All the prophets. So they are likened to be prophets. Likened as prophets. Hallelujah. So Abraham, Isaac and Jacob are called prophets. Genesis 20. Genesis 20. Abraham is called a prophet. Glory to God. Abraham is called a prophet. Genesis 20 verse 7. Abraham is called a prophet. Have you seen it there? Or should we read it? Okay, let's read Genesis 20 verse 7. Are you in Genesis 20? Verse 7. Therefore, restore this man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee. And it was referring to Abraham. Abraham is a prophet. Did you see that? Abraham is a what? Thank you. So, Abel is called a prophet. And Abel was found in God's garden. In Numbers 11 verse 29. Numbers 11 verse 29. Are you there? And Moses said unto him, Abel down for my sake, would God that all God's people were? All God's people were? In Exodus 19:6, they were called priests. In Numbers 11, they are called, they left Egypt to serve God as a priest and as a priest and a, who is a prophet? That's a Nigerian man answer. Amen. Thank you. Amen. A prophet is a priest. Well, let me show you who a prophet is. That's from the Hebrew word Nabi. Nabi, let's see who a prophet is. Exodus chapter 7. Follow me now. Okay, Exodus 7, quickly. Exodus 7. Let's see the, who a prophet is. Exodus 7. Are you there? Are you there? Glory to God. Amen. Say, I know supernatural things. I know the things of the Spirit. They are things of my spirit. I know them. Hallelujah. Look at Exodus 7. It says, and the Lord God, and the Lord said unto Moses, see, open Exodus for him here. Now, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee what? A God to who? A God to who? A God to who? And Aaron shall be thy? No, Aaron thy brother shall be thy? Shall be thy? Stop. Before we go further, go put your hands there. Go to chapter 4 verse 16. Exodus 4:16. Go back again. Let's see something. Let's follow it. I'll start from verse 15. Or I'll start from verse 14. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? Right? And I know that he can speak well. And so, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet with thee. And when thou seest thee, and when he seest thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak to him, and put, and put words in his mouth, and I'll be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and ye, and will teach you what ye shall do. 16. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And he shall, and he shall be, even he shall be unto thee, instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be unto him in the stead of, now chapter 7. Now who is Aaron supposed to be? Moses' spokesman. Moses' spokesman. So he will be the one to speak on behalf of Moses. Now chapter 7. Now, when he now says, see, I've made thee a God to Pharaoh. So Moses is going to stand in as God. Now, Moses is explaining the role of a prophet. Moses is going to stand in as God, right? So what would Aaron do? Aaron would be his spokesman. Now he's called a priest. I mean, a prophet. Meaning a prophet is a spokesman. Amen. Now, what will he do? He said, thou shalt speak what I command thee. That is it. And Aaron, thy brother, will speak unto Pharaoh, and he shall send the children of Israel out of his land. So, meaning, when Moses speaks, Aaron will hear from Moses. Right? He's just like an interpreter. That's who a prophet is. He hears from Moses. Right? And then he says it to Pharaoh. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Hope this is all. Amen. He will hear from Moses. And then he'll say it to Pharaoh. That's who a prophet is. One that hears from another and says it to another. Amen. So, who is Moses to Pharaoh? Like God. Right? So, a prophet will hear from God, right? And say it to others. That's the work of a prophet. A spoke, a middleman. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when he now says, with God that all the children of Israel are prophets, it means God wants all his children to be his spokesman, to be his middleman. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I'm God's spokesman. I'm God's oracle. I hear, I see, and I speak. Hallelujah! Hope you're following me. Glory to God. Hallelujah! Job 15. Let's see how this is explained. Job 15. Hope you're following me. Job 15. Job 15. Are you there? Verse 7. It says, the Adal, the first man that was born. That was actually not the question. It's actually thou, the first man that was born. And it was referring to Adam. Or was thou made before the heel? It says, hast thou heard of the secret of God? Proverbs 15, verse 8. It says, hast thou heard of the secret of God?
Does thou restrain wisdom to the earth? He was speaking about Adam. And he says, Adam was created to hear the secret of God. Now when you hear the word secret there, is the word in the Hebrew, sod, S-O-D. Sod. Is this for an assembly? Is this for an association? We're making progress. This is an assembly, is this an association? So an assembly. When you hear the secret of God, was referring to the assembly of God. An assembly. In chapter 19 of Job, Job 19, verse 19. Job 19:19. It says, all my wayward friends abhor me, and they whom I love have turned against me. Amen. And as referring to Job's association, that's the word Saul, an association of friends. It's called there, that's the word inward friends, inward. Amen. An association. In chapter 29, verse 4, Job 29, verse 4, it says, I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. The word secret there is the assembly of gods. Amen. The assembly of gods. I was referring to supernatural beings. Hallelujah. So Adam was made to function in the supernatural. Now remember, I told you when God put Adam in the garden, I told you Adam, I mean the garden is not like you have today, who is in the garden. It's actually God's presence, supernatural. Right? So when he said there were trees in the garden, we're going to see what the trees. Okay, I said that before, right? The trees in the garden were not literal trees. Trees were used for supernatural things. What about me? Trees are used to represent the supernatural. So it said, Lord planted trees. We're talking about the supernatural. Hallelujah. Talking about what? The supernatural. Glory to God. So Adam was created to function in God's supernatural association. Supernatural assembly as God's prophets. Hallelujah. As God's priest. So as God's prophet is to hear and see in the supernatural and then do what? Communicate it to others. To hear and see. That's why in Hebrews 1 when scripture says God who has sundry times in diverse manner spoke in time past to the prophets. Prophet are his spokesman. That means when you have what you have as prophets, where people who hear, who heard and see in the supernatural, and then they communicated it in the natural. Did you see that? Amen. Who are following me? Hallelujah. And God wants all his children to be his prophets. God wants us to hear and see in the supernatural. God wants us to hear and see in the supernatural. So say, I hear and I see in the supernatural. 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 I'm God's prophet. Hallelujah! Say, I'm God's prophet. I'm God's prophet. I hear, I see in the supernatural. My eyes are open to see in the supernatural. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that's what started happening to us in CRC. It will continue. For those of you who didn't have supernatural experiences, you'll be having it in this teaching. Hallelujah. So that means these teachings will be a reflection of CRC. Glory to God. Say, I see! I hear! In the supernatural. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And prophets do miracles too. I am just led to say that. I'm just led to say that. Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I'm still led to do this again. If you know you are having pain somewhere in your body, put your hands around your body and say, yo! Do it right now. I'm teaching you. You are prophet in this supernatural. Hallelujah. Say, go!
Go! Go! Go!
Hallelujah. Can you try it again? Say, go!
Go!
Say, out! Hallelujah. I'm teaching you how to function. That means you can be walking. And then your body, you had the pain. You had something come on your body. Just go! Even if you're on the road. Ouch! Let them look at you. You don't care. It's your body first. Hallelujah! I rather shout out than to be in the hospital. Right? Glory to God. Hallelujah! You see, we see, we hear in the supernatural, and then we do miracles. Hallelujah! Say, I do miracles! It starts from me. To others. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Hallelujah! You know what I mean? They asked this young guy to flow. I'm going to use you as an example today. I tell you, flow. With all the way the atmosphere was charged, you were still scared. Ha! Human immortal. They couldn't flow. They are shining for themselves. Brothers in the Lord, though. They are shining for themselves. They couldn't flow. Ha! Under this atmosphere, you just see supernaturally. Glory to God. Hallelujah! See, I see, I see, I see, I see. I don't see God, but I see Sinclair! I see Sinclair! I did not say Sinclair. I said, I see Claire.
I see
Claire. Not you see Claire. I see clearly.
I see clearly.
I see clearly.
I see clearly.
I don't need to see double.
I see clearly.
I see clearly. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Woo! Glory.
Woo!
I'm God's prophet. I'm God's prophet.
Glory
to God. Hallelujah. Something else to see is that, he said, have you heard of the secret of God? Meaning, and I told you, the secret is not God has secret. No, it's went to an assembly of God. So that means God functions in assembly. God functions how? In assembly. In an assembly of supernatural beings. And man is supposed to function in that assembly too. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, there's more to see. There's more to learn. There's more to know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. I'm also open to where? Have you read Job 29? We've read it? Hallelujah. Have you read it? Yeah, we did. We did. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Take note of something. Psalms 89 verse 4. Let's see something about that same sword, God's supernatural assembly. Psalms 89 verse 4. Woo! Glory, 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 glory. Are you there? Psalms 89 verse 4, it says, thy seed. Verse 89. Yeah. I think I missed this up. A second. Woo! Glory to God. Okay. Verse 8, sorry, not verse 4. Verse 8. Psalms 89, verse 8. It says, O Lord God of hosts. Do you see that? Do you see that? God functions in an assembly. God, O Lord God of hosts, who is strong like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verses, I'll talk about verses 6. For who in the heavens can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty? Sons of the mighty. We're going to get to this next week. Hallelujah. Who among the sons of the mighty? And I'm referring to supernatural beings. I told you God functioned in an assembly. hallelujah, can be compared to the Lord. Hallelujah. God is greater to be feared in the assembly of the saints. Do you see that? And when we talk about saints here, we're not talking about believers today. We're talking about supernatural beings. Hallelujah. Not dead people, supernatural beings. So supernatural beings too, we're going to get there. Supernatural beings too are called saints. Why are we called saints today? We're going to get to see that. Why are we called sons today? Hallelujah. But yet they are called sons of the mighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, O Lord of hosts. O Lord God of hosts. Hosts of what? Hosts of the sons of the mighty. Hosts of supernatural beings. So God is the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. He is the Lord of hosts. Now that word host is from the Hebrew word nasar. I'll quickly rush this so that we can close. It's from the Hebrew word nasar. Nasar is used also for a company, an association, an assembly of supernatural beings. An assembly of supernatural beings. Hallelujah. So when it says he's the Lord of hosts, it means he's the Lord of supernatural beings. Hallelujah. Supernatural beings who are called lords. When they say he's the King of Kings, he's the Lord of Lords. Lord is referring to the Lord of. He's the Lord of all lords. Hallelujah. All supernatural beings. God is not in a battle with the devil. He's not in a battle with supernatural beings. No, he is the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. You know, I wrote something years back. I said, God and Satan are not in a battle. Somebody said, we are in battle. No. God and Satan is not in a battle. What kind of battle? No. God and Satan are not rivals. No. God is the creator. Hallelujah. He is the creator. Hope you're hearing me. Hope you're hearing me. He created everything. He created evil. He created the devil. Amen. Amen. God is a creator. Say, God is a creator. He is the Lord. Not a creator. He is the creator. He is the creator. Say, God is the creator. Hallelujah. Very definite. Hallelujah. I'm trying to rush, but we'll get back to some of these things. Hallelujah. Amen. So we said, So we can say, since God, watch it, since God has an assembly of supernatural beings, right, and he is the Lord of hosts, right, we can therefore say he is the Lord of supernatural beings. We can also say God has a supernatural assembly, right, God has a supernatural assembly, supernatural family, right? God does not have a supernatural family. Right? Supernatural family? Does God have a physical family? We, right? Believers? So can we say God has both a supernatural family and, okay, a supernatural family, you understand, spiritual family and a physical family. Right? So man is to function in both. When God's physical family to function in his supernatural family. So that's why he said, have you heard of the secret of God? Adam was to hear in that assembly. We're going to see that. Hallelujah. What we did during CRC was to give you, was that, what I did with CRC was to give you the, I don't want to call it New Testament version. Amen. But I rounded it up. I summarized what I'm doing now. So what I've done now, what I did in CRC was to summarize it. Right? What I'm doing now is to open it. Glory to God. I'm opening for you to see how we got there. It's just like someone said 2 times 2 is 4. And then I said 2 times 2 means you put 2 here, 1, 2. Or 2 times 4 is 8. 2, 2, 2, 2, 4, 3. So one is summary. The other one is you are showing the, so I'm showing you the workings. How we got there. Amen. Hope you're understanding it. Hallelujah. He's the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. So God has a supernatural, a spiritual family and a physical family. And man is to function in them both. So when Paul, when I say in Ephesians chapter 3, now say, I bow my knees to the Father of glory. of whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. Family in heaven, supernatural. Right? Earth, those that are physical. And man is to function in both. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we now ask the question, how are supernatural beings called? What are they called? What are supernatural beings called in scriptures? That is where we stopped in volume 1. Well, we looked at a few of them. But I'll just quickly, because this is some of us. Now, why I'm taking the pain through all this? I'm not even done with, I've not even gotten halfway into my note of today, but I'm going to round it up. But I'm going, I've not even entered into my main teaching today. That's funny. Because some of us are not around during the teaching in volume 1. So I decided to take it in church. So in taking it in church, I have to go through the pains of saying some things I've said in volume 1 as a wrap-up. You see that? So we'll have special teaching meetings. Make sure you are there. Thursday meetings, we are teaching on something very vital. I'm going to talk about it after the session. Make sure you're there. Hallelujah. Amen. But you just know, we all learn together. Don't you like what you're hearing this? Don't you like what you're hearing this morning? Don't you like it? That you're a prophet? But if I tell you that I've said this thing for the past 2 months or past 3 months, you won't believe. But I'm saying it again in church. Because some of us were not there. Hallelujah. And my plan is for all of us to grow together. To know it together. Hallelujah. Amen. So what are supernatural beings called in scriptures? What are they called? What are supernatural beings called? Okay. I think we'll take it up from here next week. We'll know what they are called. Hallelujah. What are they called in scriptures? Amen. What are supernatural beings referred to us in scriptures? We need to know it. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll continue from here next week. Glory to God. You learned something. You know, we are God's prophets. We can see and function in the supernatural. Hallelujah. We can see. Who likes it? We can see and function in the supernatural. We can know things in the supernatural. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Deuteronomy. See this. Deuteronomy quickly. Chapter 13. It says, if there arise among thee a prophet or a dream of dreams, and give thee a sign or a wonder. That means prophets can do signs and wonders too. Hallelujah. Signs and wonders too can flow. Hallelujah. Say prophet. A prophet can give a sign and a wonder. Hallelujah. Say, I am God's prophet. So I can give a sign and a wonder. This week. This week. Miracles will happen through my hands. I'm God's prophet. I'm God's prophet. I see and I hear in the supernatural. I'm God's prophet. I'm God's prophet. I'm God's prophet. I'm God's prophet. Say, I'm God's prophet. I can see and hear in the supernatural. Now, walk up to someone you didn't meet this morning. Walk up to somebody you didn't meet this morning. Take a bold step now and function as a prophet. Take a very bold step. Leave your seat. Don't sit down now to flow. Walk up to the person standing up and say, you know the way prophet will come? And then they just talk. God said, this is what I heard. Just flow as a prophet. Flow in dimensions. I'm not stereotyping you. Flow like just hold the person and say, this is what God is saying. This is what God is saying. It must not be long. Just say it. There's supernatural sight and sound there. You know, we can have something for everyone every week. Oh, yeah. I hear and I see in the supernatural.
I hear and I think in the supernatural of God's prophet. I hear and I see.
That means you see, if you have to do with healing, you see something. In a person is sick, you can tell. If there's something wrong, that told you can tell. If there's something, you just know. Don't be kind of hard and don't stop it. I can do a sign,
I can do a wonder.
You can walk up to someone and say something bad. Make sure you're not standing up. Go walk up to someone and say something bad. Sometimes you cannot be led to say a word. Or say a word to somebody. And just say, the Lord said. Sometimes it can come like a warning. Sometimes it can come. And don't get scared of people who are fluent. You can just have to go on. God said carefully. Walk up to somebody. Make sure you're not standing alone. Walk up to somebody. Walk up to someone. There's something to see, something to know about somebody. God is working. It's happening. All over the world, your spirit lightning high, young and old, male and female, great and small, with holy good fire. Into you. If there's something about you, flow again. Hallelujah. 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 When you have just lift your hands towards heaven and begin to thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank Him. Thank Him. Lift your hands to heaven and thank Him. Just thank Him. Say this week, Lord, I'm functioning as a prophet. I'm functioning as a prophet, hearing and seeing in the supernatural, and I'm saying it. I edify the body of Christ, edify the church.